podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
LFC Day Trippers, brought to you by bookmakers.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome, or good afternoon, I guess. Welcome to the LFC Day Trippers. It's full-time Reds. Our show today is brought to you by bookmakers.com. If you're into a little bit of the sports betting and you're willing to do it responsibly, head on over to their website, get the best odds and all that good stuff. Lots of stats and comparisons you can do on there. It finished Brighton and Hove Albion 2, Liverpool 1 in the fourth round of the FA Cup. The holders are out. I'm joined by Kev. How'd you feel about that one, Kev?
Sickened by the result, disappointed with the result, obviously, and how it came about. But night and day were the difference in the performances from the one that was 2 weeks ago. Absolute night and day over the 95 minutes. The performance levels were on a different level altogether. Yeah. We're still not creating enough chances and we're not taking enough of the chances that we do create. Some of the chances we had today were gilt edge. You'd expect a lot more, but like I said, just overall disappointed with the result, disappointed to go out, but I can't really argue about it because they had the better chances. They had more shots. They worked Alisson more. And, you know, if it had been a draw, I think it would have been a fair reflection of the game. But the fact that they nicked it at the end is what it is. They created the chances to do it. We just didn't take the chances that we had. And that, especially in the first half, that kind of is becoming a running theme. You know, for all of the good play defensively that we had today, for the vast majority of the game, we kept them at bay.
Yeah.
You know, Alisson wasn't really stretched in any way, but there were chances in that game that we had really good ones and should have done better. Really should have done better with them.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about this coming into the game this morning, and it's just, if we had one of our forwards just putting the ball in, you know, if you had somebody that was just in a rich vein of scoring form where, you know, every second time they got the ball around the net, it was in the back of the net, it would be masking so many deficiencies in this team. But we also have, like, as much as we know we have issues in midfield and we've got some strange issues in defense, we've also got major issues going forward, and that we are as blunt as could possibly be.
Yeah. I mean, the lineups came out. Were you surprised with him? Were you surprised that he decided to go? I mean, he brought Trent in for Milner.
Yeah. And that was
it. But other than that, there was nothing else, because I was, but.
No, I wasn't surprised by it at all. I mean, I was a little disappointed to see that Darwin wasn't fit enough to get a go from the start, because I would have liked to have seen Darwin in from the start, even in place of Gakpo, because after the last game, you know, I was one who said I don't want to see Harvey Elliott play left wing, but I thought Harvey Elliott played fine today at left wing. I thought it was a much better performance from him at left wing than the game against, was it Wolves or Chelsea, that he played left wing, and he just looked completely lost. But I was okay with the starting 11. I don't think those three in midfield have done anything to warrant being dropped.
No, they haven't. I mean, my biggest worry was Harvey starting left wing, and mainly because Klopp came out after the game. I think it was the last game, the Chelsea game, and they just said he's not a natural in that position. He doesn't anticipate the way a left winger does.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you're doing it to him again, but at the same time, with the role that he was asked to play, he did it fine. You know, he protected Robertson when he could, made some really good balls, some really good passes, and got his goal. But that was the only one that I thought. But again, if Darwin wasn't fit to play the 90 to start today, I would have honestly thought, why not give Curtis Jones a go from right wing, from left wing, because that's his natural position. But at the same time, Elliot is ahead of him in the pecking order. He's pretty much played every single game this season. So, yeah. I mean, other than that, I don't think there was much option to change anything. Like you said, the midfield was fine. Wouldn't argue anything about it. They've turned it around to Stefan now and said, look, you've got the shirt and it's up to you to lose it. You know, and as long as you're turning in performances, he'll keep picking it.
Yep, exactly.
There was only a couple of times today. I think he got ran off a couple of times in the first half, but and he managed himself really well after he picked up his early booking. And again, he looked comfortable on the ball when he was able to get on it. Brighton actually did a really good job of trying to block the ball into him. But when he was able to get on it, he was fine. There was no problems with him, really.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we started the game fairly well. You know, in the first minute, Mitoma tried to take his first run at Trent. Trent handled him pretty easily. And I thought over the course of the time he was on the pitch, I thought Trent had a pretty good game defensively. Again, you know, every time a winger beats a fullback, it sticks out like a sore thumb. But a fullback's not going to win 100% of their 1v1s with a winger. Like, it's just not going to happen. Eventually, an offensive player. Third minute, though, Keita does what I think we all thought Keita was going to be providing for us for years now. Gets the ball in the middle, beats a man, gets his head up, starts driving forward with the ball, lays it off to Mo, takes a bit of a ricochet, comes back to Mo, cleared off the line by Lewis Dunk. Like, oh, it's like, wow, this looks great. You know, we've started on the front foot. We're creating chances. And then it kind of just petered out from there. But I thought that the midfield looked good. And to me, one of the things I took from the first half was I liked how Cody Gakpo was playing. I feel like he's coming more into the team. You can see he's another week, you know, it's a significant percentage of, you know, he's an extra 25% longer at the club than he was last week sort of thing, just because he's been here such a short amount of time. He was playing in a way to me that looked a little bit like that Harry Kane under Mourinho, of that drop deep, get the ball, shield it, and then flick it around the corner. And he did that one for Mo and put him right in. And I thought that play was great from Cody Gakpo.
I was happy with that. I mean, I asked Rory in the Telegram at halftime if he could put up a touch map of Gakpo's touches for the first half, and almost all of it was in and around the semicircle. You know, he was dropping, like you said, he was dropping deep, laying it off, protecting it where he could, and he looked stronger. He looked at it was in the second half where he got away from one of them and he drove at the line. So, I mean, look, it's slow, steady progress for him. The only thing that he didn't do today, which he did do on most of on his last game, was pot shots from everywhere and sundry. You know, that didn't happen. It was a lot more, there was a lot more care. And the one thing that was really good with him, once we survived the first 10 minutes of Brighton in the second half, the press was led by him. He was really good at closing people down and forcing Brighton to play in areas they didn't want to play in. There was a lot to like about his performance today. I've no doubt in my mind that when the others come back, I mean, Firmino, Jota, Diaz to come back into that, I don't think you'll see him starting too many games, but he looks like he's an intelligent footballer on the pitch, and this hopefully he'll kick on from here. You know, but it was by far and away not his worst showing at all. He was one of the bright lights from today. There's a lot to like about his performance.
I got the feeling that, like, once you get Luis Diaz or Darwin Nunez and Mo Salah running off of him, it can be kind of like how Hyunmin Son just thrived with having Harry Kane drop deep and pull the defenders in and then hook the ball around the corner and use the winger's pace. So, I mean, that part of it, I like, you know, just trying to find some silver linings. 15 minutes in, Sully March has a nice break, pulls the ball back across the box. Turd Ferguson, wide open in the penalty area, should score. I don't know how he doesn't score. Trent clears it off the line, though.
He doesn't score because Trent read it as the cross was coming in. Trent sprinted onto the goal line.
Yeah.
And made sure he was there to clear it. And did really well. You know, that whole play was all about Trent getting back onto the line.
Yeah.
Ferguson, the Sickner, they said in the commentary, I don't know if you had the same commentary, but apparently 2 years ago he had a trial and was given an offer by Liverpool. And he turned it down in favor of going to Brighton because he believed that Brighton would have been a better gateway to starting more regular first team games. He's proved right. You know, he was a handful all day. Really bright future for the kid. I guarantee you he's going to get selected. And as long as he's not severely injured by that horror tackle from Fabinho late on, He should get his first international cap in the next round of international fixtures. Nailed down 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been really a bright spot for Brighton since coming in.
Massively.
Brighton spot. You know, I don't see him being a downgrade on Neil Mope in any way except for experience. You know, that's the only thing that Mope would be able to say he had over Ferguson.
He's head and shoulders above Neil Mope already.
Yeah, already.
This kid is going to be a serious player.
Yeah.
You know, he's got all the physical attributes and he looks like he's got he gets in great positions for a striker. You know, he pulls himself into really good spots, and he was unlucky today not to pick up one.
Yeah,
at least one, if not more. It was really good.
For me, I think the biggest talking point in the first half, besides our goal, which we'll come on to, happened in the 18th minute. I have never been more surprised by something that's happened on a Liverpool game. Alexis McAllister absolutely low bridges Naby Keita, and I thought for sure he had broken his back in half. Given the way he's able to pick up injuries, that low bridge, and he goes over and lands on his neck and his head like that, I thought for sure he was done.
That was vintage Harry Kane. Harry Kane's made a living out of doing that to midfielders and defenders. It's horrible when players do it. If that's on a rugby pitch, you're getting a yellow card and you're getting sin bin for it.
Yeah.
But on a football pitch, it seems absolutely fine.
Until someone gets hurt. It'll take somebody big and famous getting hurt.
Naby was a seriously lucky boy to walk to get up from that.
Yeah.
I saw him going down and he folded like an accordion. Do you know what I mean? It was horrible. And the fact that he got up at all. Yeah. Hazard, you're probably not wrong. If that was I wouldn't be surprised. It was the fact that he got up and he shook it off, and I thought Naby was really good today. Genuinely, you know, Naby on the pitch isn't a problem. I think Naby getting on the pitch is the only problem. You know, if this Naby turns up week in, week out, and you could bank on him, you'd have no problem. You wouldn't be getting rid of him or something. You genuinely wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because on the pitch, there's nothing wrong with his play. He played really well. It's just his consistency and availability. But look, he was really good today. Disappointed that he went off when he did. I didn't think he should have, but at the same time, maybe it is just a case of fresh legs and managing his minutes and bringing him back. But yeah, he was part of that midfield three. That midfield three generally functioned against a side who are banging form. Let's not kid ourselves. Brighton are not. If you just said to me 3 years ago, Brighton are challenging top six, this and that. Like, yeah, right. No,
sure,
this Brighton are banging form and they're flying full of confidence. We're not. We're trying to find that way of playing and bringing our confidence back. We're polar opposites in where we are on the pitch at the minute. And it was a 50-50 game all the way through. It really was. I don't think we were ever in a position to nick it. Let's put it that way. I don't think we did enough to win it. I definitely think we did enough to get a draw out of it.
We certainly can't claim that we deserved a win out of that game. But a replay might have been fair. I mean, we're definitely going to get onto the goal, the eventual winner.
Yeah.
But like you said about Naby Keita, I mean, Kevin Ball saying something here that I think a year ago, no Liverpool fan would have said ever, which is I'd rather keep Naby than Fab at the moment. And Naby Keita played a key role in our goal. Yeah. Wins his battle in midfield. Gets his head up, feeds the ball down the right channel to Mo Salah. Salah waits. Harvey Elliott cutting in from the left wing through the middle, makes a great run, times it perfectly. Steele gets something on the ball, but not quite enough. Nestles in, 1-0 Liverpool. Seemed like happy days at that moment.
Yeah, it was. For me, the pass from Mo to Harvey was outstanding. Perfectly weighted. He got a fit. Steele got a finger on it.
Yeah.
But he tucked it away, and the way the game was at that stage, we were looking really threatening on the break. We'd had a couple of counters already that didn't pan out. It was the final ball, which just wasn't there. But when that one went in, I thought, yes, finally, we're ahead in the game. You know, and I thought at the time, I would say deservedly so, because we looked really threatening going on the counter.
Yeah.
And the question around it was was a handball by Naby. It wasn't. It was off his thigh onto his arm. It's not handball. The fact that he launched it quickly into Salah, but the weight of Salah's pass into Harvey was perfect. It had to be perfect.
Yeah.
And it was. And there we are, 1-0, and delighted. And we kept the pressure up. We started to look solid. And then I swear to God, if you're working for Liverpool at the minute, the last thing you do is go and buy a lot of ticket, because you have absolutely no luck whatsoever. You know, it was like Brighton leveled, and it was a pure pox of a goal.
Yeah.
A pure fluke. And there's nothing anyone could have done about it. The fact that Alisson contorted himself into a position where he almost got a hand on it was as good as that got. You know, Lamptey absolutely rifled it. I think when you've seen it at halftime, yeah, Stefan probably could have come out and pressed it a little bit more, but I don't think it made a blind bit of difference because the ball was skewing wide anyway.
Yeah.
And it literally hopped off Lewis Dunk's feet. And, you know, he got his big size 14s in the way. And
yeah.
Off it just wrong footed Alisson. And there you go, 1-1. That's just the way football goes sometimes. You can score an absolute peach of a goal, and it's literally chalked off with a deflected poxy piece of luck.
Yeah, it's I could think about it was just like, that's an unfair goal. Like, it just came out of nowhere, a freak deflection. Like, if it hadn't taken the deflection, Alisson saves it or the ball goes wide. Like, it's a shot from 30 yards by a fullback. You're going to let them take that pretty much every time that ball falls to him. Feel free, take your chances from there. If you score an absolute worldie and it goes top bins, you know, you got to take your licks with it. But yeah. I mean,
that listen, mate, when your look is for you, when your look is going for, we've scored plenty of goals like that. And when your look is for you, you know, it goes for you. Yeah. And you get that lucky bounce in the box and you take it and you fucking run, because that look doesn't last forever. But when it's going for you, it's going for you and you take it. And I mean, we get to 1-1 at halftime, and the first half was, I think the first 15 minutes was ding dong. First 15, 20 minutes was ding dong. Then Brighton grew into it. At 1-1, Brighton really grew into it. And,
well, I mean, the game probably changes at the 58th minute with the triple substitution.
Oh, 100%. I mean,
you know, Milner, Darwin, and Henderson come on for Trent, Harvey Elliott, and Naby Keita. And you said it in the WhatsApp group of like, I wouldn't be taking Keita off here, and either would I. Like, I thought him and Harvey Elliott were both doing well. Like, somebody earlier said, you know, that Harvey Elliott, besides the goal, didn't do much. Like, you watched how he ran around in the first half. We've been screaming for, we need people with legs that are willing to run. And I was watching him in the first half because I was concerned about him playing at left wing. And there's one thing that he wasn't doing, and that was hiding from his defensive responsibilities. He was putting a shift in and running around. And Naby Keita was winning battles in the midfield, you know, transitioning us from defense into attack quite well. And we took both those players off, and the game was Brighton's pretty much to win from there on.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think the Brighton came out brighter, much brighter at the start of the second half. They dominated that first 10 minutes of the second half, and the changes needed to happen. I honestly thought he was going to take Stefan off because of the booking more than anything else.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that it would have been Darwin to come on, go on the left, Harvey to come on to the right centre mid role, and maybe Henderson to come on into the six and go from there. But when I saw Milner coming on for Trent, it was my first instinct was absolute dread. Mitoma is going to absolutely have fun in games here.
Yeah.
But within, I think Milner's first touch was a slide rule pass into Salah that created a chance. And I suppose the only thing that you could say about the change was Mitoma didn't really do much in the second half up until the goal.
Yeah.
He was relatively quiet all the way through. Well,
will point out one moment. In the 71st minute, I don't know how it happened, but he got the ball in an actual acre of space. Like, not even being hyperbolic, an actual acre of space he had. And he pulled it back into the middle, and Sully marched. Alisson comes out, does a brilliant job.
That was 1v1. Yeah, that was exceptional. But that was exceptional football all around, because
I don't know how he got the ball in that much space. They didn't show the enough replays on my feed that I was watching, but it was just all of a sudden Mitoma has the ball and there's literally nobody around him within 20 yards.
We lost it in a bad area and Milner was halfway between where Mitoma was and the halfway line. There's no way he was going to get back. It was just, we lost it in a bad area, so you're going to get caught. But it was the pass from Mitoma with the outside of the right foot going away from Alisson that gave the chance to Sully March when he came in. It was brilliant football all round. It was a brilliant cross, and it was an outstanding save. It was just one of those you put your hands up and say, wow, that was just, from both sides, that was brilliant. That was exceptional.
Yeah.
And but other than that, I didn't think that we looked like we were in any trouble at all up until Ibu got caught with McAllister going one-on-one.
Yeah.
And he absolutely scythed him down. Well, he took him out. You know, it was a clip up the back of the head with the elbow and one in the hip for good measure. It's like, thou shalt not go no further. Other than that, it was, and look, in years gone by, that's a red card.
Well, and even if it's not a straight red card for denying a goal scoring opportunity, it's almost certainly a second yellow card.
Obviously, he got a yellow card. Ibu got a yellow card for it.
Ibu was on a yellow card in the 61st minute. He fouled Ferguson, and he picked up a yellow card. So that should have been it should have been his second yellow.
I was certain he got booked for that.
I don't think
of course he didn't. Of course he didn't. There was no foul given.
There was no foul given. I don't know how Konate stayed on the pitch.
Yeah, it was a foul all day. It was a yellow card all day.
Yeah.
I mean, the argument was it a red?
Yeah. So it's, you know, that one was like, oh boy, that's lucky. And I mean, McAllister stayed down long enough to give David Coote more than enough time to come to the correct decision.
But yeah, that's my bad.
You can always count on David Coote to fuck up the most basic refereeing decision. Yeah. So, you
that's
went in our favor.
That's my bad 100% because I didn't realize that he was already on a yellow card.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I thought it was an absolute no-brainer of a foul.
Yep.
And it was, how is he going to get away with not a red card here? An automatic yellow. It's an automatic yellow. And the fact that he was already on one, maybe he just bottled it. I don't know. I mean,
it's David Coote, so.
And he bottled another one.
Exactly, because 84th minute, Bacetic goes off, Fabinho comes on for him, and I'm sure every Liverpool fan was just like, oh, he's only got 5 minutes. How bad can this possibly go? And after about 60 seconds, he has a yellow card, and I think it was about the worst substitute performance I've ever seen, because I do not know how that wasn't a straight red card.
Mate. If that's not the performance of someone who wants to get out of the club, I don't know what is. It was a horror show from start to finish. His first touch just bounced off him. The one he got the yellow card was just late and lazy.
Yep.
And the one on Ferguson was horrific.
Yeah.
The one on Ferguson was absolutely horrific. It was a stonewall red card that VAR and the referee completely fucking bottled. Fabinho deserved a red card for that.
Yeah.
And I said so. I said it on Twitter at the time. That's a straight red card. That's an absolute horror tackle. There's no defending it. You can't. It was, if that was roles reversed, if that was McAllister on Thiago, you'd be apoplectic. Because
furious.
Not only did he hurt him enough for him to go off, but there's every chance that he could miss a few weeks for that. You know, I just hope it's innocuous and the fact that he'll be okay for the next game, but you cannot defend that. That was a horrific introduction for Fabinho from start to finish. Everything about it was the complete opposite of what we were trying to do. And from the time he came on, we literally almost handed the initiative back to Brighton because every free kick we were giving them was a chance to get out, for them to get out. And that's all that happened. And then panic set in. And you're seeing fouls given away in stupid areas. And the one that led to their goal, the foul that was given away on the edge of our box for their goal was needless. And everything that happened after that, I mean, it was both bad from us, but it was equally good from Brighton.
Yeah.
And I'll just describe what I saw. So Dunk blocking off Milner to allow Estupian time to get his cross back across goal. And an absolute world-class touch from Mitoma to take it down and get his shot off with his second touch and bury it. Yeah. And ultimately started with giving away the foul in the first place. Dunk blocked Milner off. There's fuck all he can do about that. Dunk is about 6'13" and the size of a house. Milner's not shifting him out of the way. But the fact that it was 2v1 on the back post, knowing that that's a routine that we do. We do exactly that. Trent would normally put it across to the far post for Virgil to knock it back for Matip to come through the middle. It's a straightforward set-piece routine from that area of the box. And look, the finish aside, could Gomez have done better? His instant reaction was to go and block the shot because he thought Mitoma was going to volley it. Mitoma's instinct, he just took it down and took the touch. What are you going to do? Anticipate the fact that the winger is going to take the ball down and hit it at the same time? Come on. You know,
Here's my interpretation of what happened during that free kick. Here's 8 Liverpool defenders. Everybody sitting around watching the ball go over their heads and doing nothing. It's obvious that that's what they're going to try to do. That's what teams do to us. That's what teams do to each other. It's a basic strategy from a free kick late in the game. And we had, 8, 9 in the box? And nobody out trying to challenge for the ball? Yeah, they've got some clever, that's a well-drawn-up play from them. You know, they've got their blockers there. It's like pick and roll plays in basketball. Like, I get that. And some question needs to be asked about the level of blocking that you're allowed to do from an attacking corner. Because at a certain point, you're interfering with other people trying to play the ball. But they got away with it, and that's totally fine. But what our complete lack of give a fuck in the 93rd minute, I was okay with the performance in the game up until that point. And that late winner just absolutely drove me bonkers because it just looked like nobody cared.
I don't buy that. I'm sorry. I don't buy that.
No, and that's fine. Opinion. It's just, I found that's when you need to have a leader there in the defense to be like, get your fucking head screwed on. We're almost through this. We'll get our replay. We might even get a quick counterattack from this. We've been known to do that before. But instead, it was nothing. It was everybody on their heels.
It was a bad goal to concede. It's always a bad goal to concede from a set piece, especially one when you know how it's going to go. And it's frustrating as hell. But I shouldn't mask.
Great finish.
Absolutely. It was just great astounding finish.
Mitoma, he's making a name for himself. Look,
for me, if you're looking at a left winger in the Premier League this season, he's right up there with the best of them. And I think maybe Rashford and probably Martin. I think he's probably on a par with Martinelli. He's more important to Brighton than what Martinelli is for Arsenal.
Look at the company that you're putting him in.
Yeah.
You know, at the start of the season, you would have been hard pressed to find somebody that it could have picked Kaoru Mitoma out of a group. You know,
he wasn't a professional up until 2 years ago.
Exactly. You know, nobody knew about this.
Outrageous.
Yeah, what they're doing at Brighton is highly commendable. You know, they've got they got a real feel of Southampton like 10 years ago about them, where it's just a conveyor belt. Like, they sell somebody for you look at the players that they've lost this season. Cucurella, Yves Bissouma, Caicedo missing today, you know, looks like he's possibly on his way out of the team. Neil Maupay, not really a huge loss. I guess
Trossard.
Yeah, Trossard. Like, look at the turnover in that team. You know, that's 5 starting players from their last year's lineup. You know, maybe not Caicedo quite so much because he really stepped into the role this year. But, good for them. I mean, Brighton is a well-run club, and hopefully that their money is getting, you know, put back into their team properly. I mean, and the owner's
No, but you could tell the difference of where the two clubs are at in the level of the confidence for one you know, they're absolutely brimming with confidence, and they absolutely believe 100% in what they're doing, and they're all committed to it. And for however defensively, for the look, I'm sorry, for the vast majority of that game, we were defensively okay.
Yep.
It's the cutting edge going forward is starting to, I mean, we were lackluster. We were lackluster against Chelsea. We never looked like doing anything against Wolves apart from a wonder goal from Harvey Elliott. We never really threatened Wolves going the other way too much. It's, and three today now, I mean, we created a few more chances today, but we just didn't take them. Yeah. And as long as that's going on and you've got a jittery feeling at the back that something is going to go wrong, it goes back to, I suppose it goes back to the Brendan Rodgers quicksand time that no matter what you do, going even sides, we go 1-0 up, 2-0 up, sides know that we'll gift them up something. We'll find a way to hang ourselves. And we found it today again.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing that can be done about the first goal. The first goal is just a freak.
Yep.
But the second one is definitely something that can be worked, that should have been snuffed out, be it from not giving away the foul in the first place, or when you do, manage that situation a hell of a lot better. And there's no one will know that more than what the players know. The players aren't stupid. They know exactly what happened and why it happened. You know, they don't need it drumming to them from people online. They're not stupid, but they have to do better. They just do.
So, Robison here, Robbo's one, you know, why aren't we able to find Mitoma or Caicedo type talent? I see Samuel had said roughly the same thing, you know, that Mitoma was 2 million and Caicedo was 750,000 pounds. You same fans wouldn't give those players the amount of time they'd need if Liverpool signed them, because we have signed them. It's something that Chris Brack pointed out in response to it. We've signed Fabio Carvalho, Harvey Elliott, young players like this, and people are going, he's not good enough. He's not good enough. Get rid of him. So why do you automatically think that if we had assigned Caicedo last year and he came into the team and he was having the same sort of effect as a Harvey Elliott or so, people would be saying the same thing about them? Like, it's so, everybody's hindsight is so, so excellent.
Yeah, look, I mean, no one saw Mitoma coming. Nobody. Oh. I don't know. I don't care who you are. There was a lot of noise about Caicedo for a long time before, you know, from youth football all the way through. And yeah, can you gamble? We should gamble more. 100% we should.
Yeah.
Should we be doing something in the last throws of the window? We should.
Should.
I don't think we will, but no, we should 100%. I don't know what Klopp has said about the post-match. I'll find out later. But for sure, the lads tonight will dissect this.
We got a fat back four coming.
Yeah, we got a fat back four tonight, and Emmett and Gav, Shawnee and Keith will go through this with a fine tooth comb. But
yeah,
when you look at the two performances and you stand them next to each other from the 3-0 to this one, the results the same. The performance levels are completely different. You know, it was, there's a lot more to take out of this. I mean, Klopp was absolutely right. That 3-0 flattered us.
Yes.
You know if it was 5 or 6, it would have been a fair reflection on the day. Today was just not that. And there is progression there. It's slow and it's painful and it's horrible. And this season is just looking like more and more that we're just going to have to suck this up for a while. As annoying as it is, we're going to have to suck this season up, try different things. If they work out, great. If they don't, fine. But we're nowhere near what's needed to be a side that's capable of getting into the top four. We're a country mile off of what that requires.
The positive about that is we don't even look like we're going to be good enough to make the Conference League. So it might be a league and domestic cups only kind of season next year.
It's possible. It's entirely possible, because I don't see where the goals are coming from at the minute. And I don't see, I mean, yeah, we've 2 clean sheets back to back going into this, but we rode our luck in both those games. We don't seem to have a semblance of any kind of control in any of the games that we're playing at the minute. And that's probably the most frustrating thing for me to watch, is the fact that we can't get a ball into an opponent's final third and sustain pressure for long enough. And, you know, Brighton, as good as they are today, we never really sustained anything meaningful in their final third for long enough.
Yeah, and that's to me is becoming the big thing for me now. Like I've made my peace with our issues with midfield and the effect it's having on our defense. You know, we're not going to be one of the tight defenses in the league this season. We're going to give goals away. We're going to pretty much get scored on every single game. I've stopped trying to predict us getting a clean sheet, but we got to score some goals, because it's what I said when we were doing season previews this year was, you know, like I picked Southampton to be in relegation trouble this year because I couldn't see where their goals were going to come from. And I never imagined that we, Liverpool, would be in that situation where I'm watching us play and I'm going, I have no idea how we're going to score.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't look like scoring. And for years, it's just been just get Salah the ball. He'll do something magical with it and we'll get a goal. And
yeah. And if Mo doesn't, Sadio will. And if Sadio doesn't, or Bobby
Trent
will.
Trent will put an amazing ball in. Like,
yeah. Or Virgil would pop up for the odd goal, or
yeah, like
someone will score like a banger from midfield.
I think Robertson put one cross in, like worked on the overlap. Now I understand, and I'm willing to give a little bit of leeway on that he doesn't play with Harvey Elliott as the left winger too often, and Elliott being left footed is different. We normally don't have a left footer playing left wing with Robertson, and he makes his overlaps, but he got one overlap and his ball was the most simple routine front post cut out, like no danger on the cross at all. Trent didn't get forward a ton. There was one point.
No, but I think that's more by design.
Yes.
When you look at their touch matches, their touch maps, it is by design. If you overcommit against sides, you will get counted on because the midfield and the forwards just are a bit too easy to play against at the minute. They're a bit too easy to get out from the press. It's just not where it needs to be.
Yeah. When we were playing earlier in the season, trying to bomb our fullbacks on like a normal, you know, quote unquote, normal Liverpool team, we were getting slaughtered on the counterattack.
Balls in behind Trent were there for everyone to see.
Yeah.
And I did have one. Cut that out.
65th minute, Robertson was up playing center forward and he had a little 1-2 with Thiago, and the return pass to Thiago was just a bit too heavy for him and it got cut out from him. But it was just like, holy shit, what's Robbo doing there? Popping up in their penalty area.
Yeah. He did well to actually, because the ball was fizzed into him. He did be able to get it back to him at all. But that kind of intricate play was good. It's good to see that kind of intricate play. And the first three subs that were made gave us a lot more control in the game. We were, once the changes came in, for that period of the game, up until probably the 81st, 82nd minute, we pretty much had control. And we just got caught, we got sucker punched at the end. You know, and that's what it was. Brighton didn't have to push on or overcommit anything. It was just like, stay in it, something will fall for you.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's the way it was.
Yeah, not a great game from Liverpool. I mean, I would say it was better than Chelsea, that's for sure. I mean, after that Chelsea game coming on here, it was like, I don't even know what the hell we're going to talk about because that was brutal. Yeah, at least there were some moments in there. And I think going forward, what's our next games? What, next weekend?
Next weekend is Wolves. I think it's 3 p.m. Yeah, it's a 3 p.m. game against Wolves next Saturday.
I mean, it's a ways away, but same team? Maybe Darwin comes in for Gakpo or Darwin comes in for Harvey Elliott, but like I think that midfield three goes again.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I don't think the back four will change unless anyone is back to somewhere, some semblance of fitness. I doubt it. I think the vast majority of that side would stay the same. The only thing is what, if you take Harvey out, put Darwin wide left, leave Gakpo through the middle, or rotate those two, swap them in game or whatever. But yeah, the injuries that are due to come back are all, from what I read earlier on today, they all look like mid-February, early to mid-February. It's
a couple more weeks.
That's what I mean. They're all pretty much touch and go for the first leg against Real Madrid. And even then, I don't think any of them will have too many minutes in their legs before that. We just don't have the opportunity to play anything. So do you put them in cold in a tie like that? We might have to. We don't know. But as it is at the minute, the only chance that we have for silverware this season is Champions League.
Hey, all we got to do is win 7 games, and we don't even have to win 7. You know, no. We could sprinkle a draw or two or even a loss in there if we get some big wins. Yeah. That's the only thing I can hang my hat on.
And hey, look, we're still in it, man. That's all you can do. We're exactly. still in it. And as bad as and shit as it is.
Now we can still win the league. Mathematically, the numbers are still there. You know, there's enough points to play for.
What time is it over there, man? It's a bit early in the day for you. You know what I
mean? 11:30 in the morning. Too early for the cans.
Pubs ain't open yet.
Nope. No, they are not. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much good enough for us. You know, just ask you guys, hit the like button for us. Subscribe to the show. Leave 5-star reviews on your podcasting apps if you have to catch up on the follow-up. I know this will be going out as a podcast later on in the day. We got the Fatback 4 coming up this evening. Gav and the gents will get to really tear into Liverpool again. Feels like it's the same bloody show pretty much every Sunday now for the last couple of weeks. It's tough gig for those boys.
Spoiled for a good few years, weren't we? We were able to talk about all the good stuff.
I know. Oh, those are the good days. I'm hoping that Emmett's going to recover from his seems like he's got a bit of a cold, he says. He might not be available for tonight. I think he'll be okay.
Emmett's got man flu.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay.
Thoughts and prayers, Emmett.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know how you feel, man.
Yeah.
Just make sure you get your feet up, dressing going on, you know, a couple of Leb sip.
Yeah, exactly. Just relax for a little bit. You got a couple hours until the show. You'll be okay. We believe in you. Check out our charity partner. You'll find the link in the description. Got a dozen women that play the GAA in Dublin that are running the Dublin Marathon to raise money for breast cancer research, which is a absolutely wonderful cause. It is an outstanding act of selflessness from these women to do this because it requires a lot of training, a lot of practice, and a lot of running, which... I despise. So good on them. Donate if you can. Share it around your social networks, your friends and family, things like that. You never know who will it hit at the exact right time, and they might just feel like they want to make a donation. And check out our partner, bookmakers.com. Get some odds on Liverpool losing their next game. Probably not very good odds. But if you're still a believer, you want to bet on Liverpool to win, that might be good for you. Gamble responsibly and all those good things. Anything else before we go, Kev?
No, that's it. You've got a show tonight. You'll have loads of shows through the week, but I think we're going to be live during
deadline day
mm-hmm. for whether we're active or not. Apparently, there's talk that Galatasaray are looking at Nat Phillips. So you never know.
They still have to pay an English tax, right? Even if it's a Turkish team, like we're not letting them go for $7 million.
Galatasaray do like buying the odd English player here and there, so you never know.
And they had what Skrtel played there, didn't he, or was that Fenerbahce?
That could have been that was Fenerbahce, I think.
That's Fenerbahce, yeah.
But one of those teams. Don't get those two confused, man. They don't like that kind of thing.
No, absolutely
no,
not.
No, we don't know. We don't know. I'd be surprised if we do anything. But
at this point, I think we'd all be absolutely blown away if Liverpool did anything. Like it feels like it would come out of absolutely nowhere because there's. The only murmurings we're getting are no business, no business, no business, no business. So
you never know. Someone might have snuck Moise Caicedo into the coach.
Exactly. We went down there.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
That's right. Yeah. Just get him back to Liverpool. Get him on Merseyside and he becomes ours on February the 1st. There you go.
Just by default.
Yeah, just by default. We can work out the cost for him later. Just send the bill to Boston.
Samuel is saying there, Klopp said there's no more signings in January. Jurgen.
There you go.
Spoil sport.
Yeah, what's he gonna say? He's gonna
say. What's Vinny O'Connor going to be doing on Sky now if he can't hang about Anfield? He might be hanging around Goodison. You never know. There could be some business.
Or Bramley Moores. You know, you just put him in an inflatable raft and push him out into the Marine. I'm here outside of Everton's almost new stadium. So there you go. All right. Thanks for joining us on Full Time Reds. We'll see you guys around. Tune in for the Fatback 4 tonight. See you guys.
Sports Social Podcast Network.